Chapter 16. Banner of the Brethren. Under the traditional democracy of piracy, the crew of a ship could, by formal vote, unseat the captain and replace him at any time not in battle. Aboard the Revenge, an insurrection had broken out. Captain Bonnet's cabin remained in shambles from our confrontation with the British warship. Broken glass, splintered wood, books strewn about, smashed dishes, and spilt brandy reflected the general mood of the captain who, due to his wounds and sour disposition, refused to leave his quarters. "Back in the dory the other night," I said to Elvis, "you mentioned that you might have an idea who turned in the men leading the mutiny." Since our rescue from Block Island, I had visited Elvis each morning in the brig. Black Scarf had placed our cook behind bars due to some grave offense, the bulk of which I gathered had to do with Elvis serving the men rat droppings rather than raisins in their porridge. Elvis replied, "I did?" I passed him a stale, hard piece of bread through the bars. The man in the neighboring cell asked,
"You bring bread for me?"
"Sorry," I replied, "but the captain says you're to remain on a hunger strike." The other prisoner replied,
"But I not be striking?"
"Or eating," said Elvis smugly.
The man shot back,
"Better to starve than eat that grub you call food."
"That's so, fatso."
"I won't give you up," I said to Elvis, "if that's what you're worried about. Only trying to make sure I don't step into a trap."
"Squid, you be needed on deck."
"Who's the mole?"
"Not that one," said Elvis. "Though had I a cleaver, I might serve him to the sharks, I might. Mole be the other one."
"What other one?" Before Elvis could reply, a cry went up.
"Sail-o! Sail-o!"
To my surprise, I found our captain on deck looking disheveled and seemingly confused as to the hurried activity by the crew.
"I know why you and Livers slipped away," Black Scarf said to me.
"You do?"
"And if you don't do exactly as I say, I'll tell the captain about them bills of sale."
From the crow's nest, a cry went up.
"Get down!"
Before I could hit the deck, a cannonball tore through the lower half of our mainsail. The warning shot sent the men diving for cover.
"You know who that is out there, man."
Black Scarf passed the glass to Little Bird Boyd.
"Not a friendly vessel, it would appear," Boyd replied.
Black Scarf continued,
"Flies the banner of the Brethren, she does."
The vessel, smaller than the Revenge, lowered the plain black flag and raised another. This one also black, but with a horned skeleton holding an hourglass in one hand and a spear piercing a heart in the other.
"Black be it," whispered Little Bird Boyd.
"Oi,"
said Black Scarf.
"Doomed we be."
Meanwhile, our round little captain stood dumbfounded in his bright red waistcoat and trim royal blue breeches. His curled wig canted to one side. Barking commands, Captain Bonnet demanded to know why our own pirate flag had not already gone up. The men knew better. Flaunting ours would only invite swift, harsh, and brutal retribution. If captured, we would be shown no quarter.
"To posts, men!"
Quickly, the men hurried to defend the Revenge. From powder magazine to gun deck, I supplied the guns with ammo. Other crew opened gun ports and rolled out cannons. One man rammed a bag of gunpowder down the mouth of a cannon, followed by a ball of shot. Peering through the open gun port, I watched as the vessel before us came on fast, growing large before us. Meanwhile, our captain continued shouting commands, which the men ignored. All took their lead from Black Scarf, and for once, he seemed restrained to take action. The order to fire never came. Instead, the vessel sailed straight for us, right up beside us, in fact. By this point, we could all see the other captain. Tall, broad-shouldered, wide around the waist, his long black beard knitted at the ends. He howled and coughed and laughed hysterically at the spectacle of our own diminutive red-faced captain cursing at the crew and demanding to be obeyed. Only after some minutes, and still between gasps of knee-slapping laughter, did Blackbeard wipe his eyes and blow his nose over the side. I should pause at this point to mention that all the crew knew that at the first sighting of the vessel, we should have poured on sail and raced away as quickly as possible. The Revenge was damaged, and down half the crew, but technically, Captain Bonnet remained in charge, though incapacitated, physically and mentally. So to retreat would have brought the lash upon whoever gave the order. That was our idiot captain's first mistake, not relinquishing control to Black Scarf or some other crew member. He made his second mistake minutes later while the two ships floated close together. At Blackbeard's insistence, our captain paddled over in a gig and went aboard the waiting vessel. This he did with muskets pointed at him. His third mistake involved agreeing to Blackbeard's demands that the pair sail as a team in a fleet of two. That Captain Bonnet would agree to such a stupid idea only proved once more how ill-fitted he was to serve as captain of a pirate ship, or really any vessel. Under the guise of wanting to teach Captain Bonnet how a ship-shaped pirate vessel is run, Blackbeard insisted on taking command of the Revenge. Soon, other men from Blackbeard's crew ferried over in gigs and came aboard the Revenge, each one larger, hairier, and looking more sullen and mean than any man in our crew. With only minutes of daylight left, Blackbeard addressed the men, including those in the brig, Elvis and Henry the Virgin, a man caught making amorous advances towards one of the pigs in the livestock stall.
"Know this, men, now that the fight is over, not that it ever actually started, you have nothing to fear from us. I know your bumbling actions were not a yar doing, but those your true enemy, that idiotic little man who calls himself Captain. Many of us once sailed on ships commanded by imbeciles like him who couldn't tell stern from aft."
Elvis whispered to me,
"There be a difference."
"I know what it is to be a slave to the whims of a petty tyrant, who has no business leading men, to put up with his dithering and insufferable stupidity. That's why today, I offer you a career where you don't rely on puny wages and small shares of a prize. One where you own a stake in the whole, and where your pleasures gained from thieving and murdering aren't a mortal sin, but a virtue. Now then, what say you?"
All hands shot up. "Well, not mine." From reading pirate books, I knew how the story of Blackbeard ended, as did the lives of those who sailed with him.
"Fine then, let's set about turning this vessel into a ship to be feared."